Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, we'll start at verse 6. And this is part 28 of our study on John the Baptist. And we'll look at Gilgal. I know I said last time that we were through with it, but the sermon went long. But today is the eighth part of our subtopic on Gilgal. But Mark chapter 1, verse 6 through 13, I suppose. "And John was clothed or dressed in camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There's one coming that's mightier than I. The latchet of his shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unbuckle or unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And of course, we've looked at that the last few weeks. But in verse 9, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in verse 12 and 13, "And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Heavenly Father, please help us. Once again, I ask, help us to understand the text, and that we not read into it what our denomination told us we ought to believe, or what the professor said at cemetery, or anything that we've seen on the internet. What does the text itself say? Lord, show us that. That we would see Christ, and that he would be glorified in our lives. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We had spent a lot of time in the book of John, chapter 1. But in Mark, and actually last time, I think we looked at Matthew, and in just a second I'll read from Luke the story of John the Baptist and Christ being baptized and filled with the Spirit. This story is in all four Gospels. That should tell us that this event is important. But today I want to look at what happened after Jesus was filled. He went down into the water. John dunked him in some fashion. I don't know. Maybe he said something. We don't know, but we know the facts. We know the elements that Jesus was immersed. And when he came up the Spirit came down from heaven, rested upon him. And then God from heaven spoke, the Father spoke, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, must be obvious, that's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I've said this before, and it warrants an additional mention. We believe that God the Father is God. We believe that the Son, Jesus, is God. And we may sort of believe that the Holy Spirit is God, but we don't put a lot of attention. We just gloss over it. We don't understand. But the Spirit is God. And the Spirit works in the hearts of men. You can start at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It talks about God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit began to move on the face of the waters. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I've said it before, it should be obvious that God the Father sent God the Son to die for the sins of the world. But I often quote John chapter 16, where it says the Spirit's job is to testify of Christ and what he did. And as he speaks to us, as he gives illumination, what have you, he'll show us Christ. Let's look at the text. He came up out of the water, Spirit fell from heaven, and immediately, it says in verse 12 of Mark chapter 1, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Okay, fine, you've been anointed. We covered that. The power of God rests upon Christ. But immediately the Spirit said, you've got to go into the wilderness. You've got to go into the wilderness. Luke chapter 3. I'll just hurry through it. Verse 21 and 22 to show you that all four Gospels speak of this event. Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that when Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. But the next chapter, it echoes what we just said. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he was hungry. Now I said several times and went over several things, our subtopic is Gilgal. And you've heard me say it, but I'll refresh it. The children of Israel came up out of Egypt. They went through the desert, through the wilderness. And 40 years later, they crossed Jordan into the promised land. And as they went, they dropped off stones in Jordan and picked up other stones, 12 in, 12 out. And they piled them or assembled them or arranged them at a place called Gilgal. And we looked at Elijah and Elisha, and we saw that they went back and forth across Jordan, back and forth, and they passed by Gilgal. We looked at when King Saul was anointed, and then later on when he lost his kingdom, they went back and forth and passed by Gilgal. these events, these groups of people going back and forth, they foreshadowed when Jesus, when he started, he was somewhere on the West Bank. He crossed Jordan. He was baptized. And then he came back. He returned from Jordan. And he had to have passed by Gilgal. I hope that you understand that Elijah and Elisha and King Saul and whatever else we looked at, these foreshadowed when Jesus was baptized and then driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. I hope that you see the foreshadowing, the types. But for Jesus to start his ministry, he had to be anointed. And he went down to Jordan, was baptized, was filled with the Spirit, but did not immediately begin preaching. As soon as he got back on dry land, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said, "Go into the wilderness. It's time to go into the wilderness. Before you go preach, before you heal anyone, before you go to the cross, you've got to go to the wilderness." Israel, we just said, when they came up out of Egypt, it took them 40 years to get to the promised land. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about or around through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." 40 years. 40 years. And it would have taken two, and this is Sunday school stuff, it would have taken 2 years, because they built the tabernacle, they anointed priests, they did this, they did that. But because of murmuring and complaining and never being satisfied, there was Aaron and Miriam that rebelled. There was the Korah rebellion. Aaron, first time Moses went up on the mountain, "Huh, what are we going to do? I know, let's make a golden calf and worship that." And God wasn't real happy with that. And that rebellious spirit, God wanted to deal with it. So those people that were born in Egypt, they were delivered, that's fine, but only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, made it into the promised land. Over the period of 40 years, everybody else died off. And the second generation, they were the ones that went into the promised land. But the Spirit had Jesus to go into the wilderness. Again, before he preached, before he did anything, he went into the wilderness. And he was tempted by the devil, and I could go over that in Luke chapter 4, verse 3 through 12, I guess. But Jesus had to suffer. I've talked about the desert before, and I said that everyone listening to me knows somebody that spent time in Kuwait or Afghanistan or wherever. You can find somebody in your family or your uncle or your neighbor down the street that has been. And if they'll tell you, if they're willing to tell you, they'll tell you stories about how awful it was from a comfort standpoint. And Jesus was in the wilderness, in the desert, wherever it was, for 40 days. Israel was there for 40 years. Jesus was there for 40 days, suffering. Didn't have anything to eat. Didn't eat. Not only in the desert, didn't have any food. Don't know how much water he had, but it says that he didn't have any food. And he suffered. And after 40 days, then the devil comes and gives him a hard time. And he's able to overcome by quoting the word of God, answering the devil, correcting the devil when the devil misquoted Psalm 91. He depended upon the Bible. That should be a lesson to us. When we get in trouble, we ought to depend on the Bible. But Jesus had to suffer. He had to learn obedience when he was in the desert. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, I won't read it all. But it talks about the Levitical priesthood. But it says in verse 5 that Christ, he didn't glorify himself to be made a high priest. He didn't show up and said, hey, look, I'm in all these fine robes. You know, he wasn't born in the best hotel. He was born in a stable. But the passage here in Hebrews quotes Psalm chapter 2. But then it references the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll look at Luke chapter 22 in a second. But Hebrews, it has a lot of stuff packed into it. But then it says in verse 8 and 9 that though Christ was a son, yet he had to learn obedience by the things he suffered. And after he was sanctified or made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. But Luke chapter 22, and as usual, I'm running out of time. But it says, and this is at the end of his ministry, this is right before Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified. But he came out and he went, and as he usually did, he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And he said, hey, why don't y'all stay here and pray a while? In verse 41, I guess through verse 46, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, 50 feet, however far. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. This cup means he was going to be beaten. Beard plucked from his face. Back cut to ribbons. He had to carry his own cross. And then he was nailed to it. Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to be crucified. If it's possible, if it's your will, please remove this cup from me. I don't want to drink it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven and strengthened him, just like when he was being tempted in the wilderness. The angels came and ministered to him. And verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed even harder. And his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He was suffering in prayer. In just an hour, maybe, he was going to be arrested. And he didn't want to be arrested. And he didn't want to have to suffer. And he had to surrender to the Father and say, okay, I'll do it. I mean, I really don't want to do it, but I'll do it. But back to Luke. I want to go over this a little bit again. He was baptized. The Spirit came down upon him. And it says in Luke chapter 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, because he had just been anointed, returned from Jordan, but was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to suffer and learn obedience for 40 days. But then, in verse 13, 14, and 15 of that same chapter, Luke chapter 4, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went a fame about him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Again, let's say it again, and maybe we can get it. He was baptized, he was anointed, the Spirit was upon him, he came up out of the water, full of the Holy Ghost. But that was not enough. Being full of the Spirit was not enough. He had to go suffer in the wilderness and then be tested by the devil to see if what he learned in 40 days took. He had to suffer a grilling by the devil. But then when that temptation was over, then, still full of the Holy Ghost, then he was able to teach. Then he was able to preach. Then he was ready for the Garden of Gethsemane and his passion on the cross. So I have three questions. Jesus was God, right? Then why did he have to be baptized or empowered by the Spirit? Why did Jesus have to go through the wilderness and suffer? And for that matter, why did Jesus have to pray? He's God, right? But he was also 100% man. And as a man, even a sinless man, he had to deal with his flesh, his natural desires. He had to crucify the flesh. He had to mortify the flesh. He had to surrender his will. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, but it wasn't enough. And some of you listening, you've been filled with the Spirit. And that's great. But it's not enough. It's not enough. You have to learn your Bible. You have to know what it is you're talking about. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to surrender your will before you can be effective in telling people about the Lord. You have to suffer. You have to endure hardship. All of these things, they relate to Gilgal, and hardship and suffering and learning obedience. That's what sanctification is all about. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.